Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chronicle. I'm your host, Karan. All right, so this episode, I have Jason on. He is a podcaster. He does the Threads podcast, Life Unfiltered, and Gig Economy. So we talk about his life. We talk about mental health, men's mental health, as well as mental health in the African-American community. We also talk about just things that he has been doing, his podcast, both of them, and what got him into doing it. So stay tuned. All right. So yes, as I said earlier, we have Jason here. So let's welcome him and we will get right into it.
The first question. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm 44 years old. I have three children, 23, almost 13 on Sunday. And then a 10-year-old. I was married before and so got remarried. So yeah, I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and no snow here right now, so that's kind of good, kind of bad. I do snow plowing in the winter too, so I haven't worked.
Okay.
I have done lawn fertilization for more than 20 years. I'm kind of a seasonal worker, and so in the last 4 or 5 years, I've been doing gig work like Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, whatever, Amazon Flex, whatever can pay the bills.
Yeah.
As far as, like family life, I did, as you know, probably research and through our Threads podcast is, I did grow up in an abusive home. So I'm kind of I'm kind of a bootstrap kind of guy. So I don't say like survivor or, victim or anything like that, but I was abused as a kid. My mom was my abuser, and okay. So that's kind of where me starting my podcast was about, talking about mental health and trying to reduce that stigma of, especially for guys, that, you know, that need that mental health. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I've been going to therapy for about 6 years and just kind of plowing through.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, tell us a little bit more about your podcast. What are some of the things that you are talking about? I know you said you talk about like breaking that stigma, especially with men, and it's such a huge thing there.
Yeah, our podcast, it's kind of involved. We've got 108 episodes, so we've definitely evolved a little bit. We're kind of evolved into the point where we talk about three buckets. We talk about faith, uncomfortable conversations, and mental health. And not necessarily either one of those are important. They're all kind of equal. Some shows we talk about that. Sometimes we interview people about faith or mental health or uncomfortable conversations. So our initial goal of the podcast was just to talk about life unfiltered, get rid of the Facebook fake, the Instagram, all that stuff. Because every time when people see that, and I have a daughter that's 13, is starting to experience that, they only see the person is portraying on that platform. They don't see the terribleness that happened before that or whatnot. So
right.
That's kind of what we were trying to do, is just say, hey, life can be crappy sometimes, and it's okay to talk about those things too. And our goal was just to be able to, so people can be like, yeah, like connect with us that it is crappy. It can be crappy. Those kind of things. And it's okay. It's okay that it is, it doesn't always have to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's amazing, because there, a lot of times we're only told, think about the positive things, think about all the good things that are happening, but it's okay to sit in the and think about the things that weren't going good, at least for a little bit, because that's how you can process through those.
Yes, yes. What is the swearing on this show? I just want to make
sure. It's fine. Yeah, no, okay. It's fine.
I mean, I won't drop any F-bombs. I am a potty mouth, unfortunately, but we always say sometimes you have to sit in the shit. Like, you just got to sit in it, and it's like, it's okay. Yes, don't dwell on it, you know, but don't hide it. Like, exactly. People, I think people want to actually see that on social media. I think they'd rather see, I mean, you all know the people in your Facebook friends that are always like that. And you're like, okay, we get it. But it's good to have a balance of both. And because people are dealing with the same stuff. It's not like you're isolated. And I think saying that out loud to other people, I think can be hugely healing for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it makes it seem like you're more relatable. Yeah. And you're a person too. And I think a lot of times we don't think about that, especially on social media, is with things like with celebrities or even within our own like social circles, we don't think of other people as, I don't want to say we don't think of them as people, but we envy them because of what they're posting on social media, and we're not seeing that other side of things that they're not posting.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the teenage kids, boys, teenage boys too, but mostly girls, and they're seeing, you know, I have to compare myself to that, and it's like, you know, I tell my daughter, I'm like, that stuff's not real. I mean, you can't do this. And, you know, so it's going to be, she's only 13, but man, I tell you, it's going to be a struggle, but I'm up for the challenge.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so you said, you talk about having like uncomfortable conversations, uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. What has been some things that have come up? Or things that you feel are more uncomfortable to talk about?
Yeah, one of the things, my co-host Ben, we always say sheltered Ben, because Ben was sheltered growing up, and okay. You know, Christian reformed, you know, real, like I did too, but I wasn't sheltered. I kind of had to learn life real quick, but so we've had a couple of transgender guests on, so that's been, it's been interesting, especially for Ben. I think it's really changed his view a little bit. I was okay with all of it, but it was just good to have some clarity on some things. Mm-hmm. And it's uncomfortable. Like, you know, you don't want to talk to, you know, how do you talk to your transgender friends about the things that it might come off as like awkward or like you're being mean, but you're not. So those are the kind of conversations. We've had a podcast about abortion. Okay. Like, that's tough. I mean, that's, you know, that's something that no one wants to talk about. And Right. So those are kind of some of the things we try to touch on as far as the uncomfortableness. Just kind of focusing on, you know, even talking about like death, like it's uncomfortable, but you know what people say around death. We had someone on, I think our episode 50, she started a podcast because she lost her son, and that was how she was dealing with her grief. Just weird things that people say at the funeral home. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It happened for a reason. And it's like, I mean, I love Jesus. Like I'm faith-based, but no one wants to hear that at the funeral home at that point. That's like, no, don't say that. So just those kind of conversations, I've really enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed the podcast, sitting down with my friend for an hour, hour and a half, no phones, no nothing, and just looking eye to eye, just talking about some heavy stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, it's a really rewarding and very weirdly cathartic thing to do with podcasting, to get these ideas out. So what made you want to start this podcast and with your friend Ben?
So I actually have another podcast that was started before call it was a it's called the Gig Economy Podcast. It started out as a rideshare podcast when Uber and Lyft were kind of the only gigs. That one's grown quite a bit, but I met Ben through all that, and Ben and I connected, so we haven't been lifelong friends by any means. And so we're like, you know what? I really love podcasting, but I want to talk about something more deep than, just rideshare driving. Well, I enjoy that podcast recording better because it's more fun. I get to hang out with my friends, and it can be goofy sometimes, but Threads is more, more deep and emotional. So sometimes it can be some work, especially when we're talking about my toxic family and those kind of things. So that's what got me into podcasting for Threads. And originally got me into podcasting was I listen to podcasts all the time. I work 8, 10 hours a day by myself. There's only so much music you can listen to.
Very true.
You know what I mean? I mean, and I'm 44, so it's like I'm listening to 80s rock and 90s rap and those kind of things. It's like, yeah, it's all great and all, but it's like the same 60 songs on repeat. And so I'm like, oh, this podcasting thing. And I started listening to Joe Rogan, and then it expanded from there. And so I was like, I want to do this. I want to start a podcast. And that's kind of how it was born.
Very cool. So yeah, speaking of like the Threads podcast, you talk about mental health, and again talking about the mental health of men and breaking that stigma. What do you see as the reasoning behind the major stigma behind us, like men not being able to or feeling comfortable with talking about mental health or things that are going on in their lives?
I think one of the reason it's always, I think a lot of it is generational. I'm not sure how old you are, but I think kids nowadays, it's while they have a lot more pressures than I think I did when I grew up at 13, because we didn't have the internet. I think it's more accepted now. But I think a lot of it has to do with generational and then parenting. When you're a parent, you don't realize the amount of power you have as a parent. I mean, it's like you can choose how this kid's life is going to be. You really can, whether you make a mistake or you're positive. And so the same thing with racism. I think that's something that, while my parents never talked about it, but there are parents that do talk about it, and in a bad way. And so that just instills that in that person. And I think it's kind of the same way with mental health. We don't talk about that stuff. Ben grew up that way. You don't talk about it. You sweep it under the rug. Ours, my family kind of did that. It was always like a complete S storm for 20 minutes and screaming, yelling, and abuse. And then we're like, okay, it's time to go to church. You know what I mean? So, but going back to like the stigma, I think it's going away a little bit more. But like my generation is like, hey, you're the provider. You're the one that's got to be strong. You got to take care of your family. And admitting that you have issues is kind of a sign of weakness. And I think that's just kind of the stigma that everyone talks about. Even Ben, I got him to go to therapy. Like through this podcast, I got him to go to therapy, and now he's like a huge proponent of it. Even Ben, I mean, being faith-based and everything, he was just like, I don't know. No, I don't want people to know. And I'm like, Ben, like you were a youth pastor like for 6 years. What are you talking about? And so we always say when we get guests on, we haven't done it in a while, but we peer pressure people to go to therapy in a good way. Just because it's so helpful. So I know
Yeah.
I tangent all the time, so I'm sorry, Karan, if I do that. I love to talk, so you can bring it back.
Oh, no, you are good. No, thank you. That was a good story to get into, or on how you got into podcasting. And yeah, I think for a while for me, it was even growing up, I was like, no, I don't ever want to go to therapy, because it, like you said, it there is that stigma that it's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of you can't handle this and you should be able to handle this. And yeah, I think just being that proponent and for going to therapy, like as a therapist, I am so happy when people have a realization that maybe this is something that I can do, and it's something that will try to help me in some way.
Yeah, can I ask you a question? As a therapist and as a Black man, I know that in the Black community, therapy is even looked at even worse. What do you think that is?
You know,
don't mean to put you on the spot.
No. It's a very good question, because what I've noticed, so I've been a therapist for about, I should say consistently, for about a year, a little over a year now. And something that I've noticed, especially in the area that I live in now, I live in Pittsburgh, there are very few African-American male therapists in this area. And I don't know if that's because this is just not the field that a lot of African-American males go into, or if it's, you know, I don't know. But what I have noticed is there's been a lot more people have been requesting someone that looks like them,
really,
as their therapist, because they feel a little bit more comfortable feeling that they can actually relate to that person. And so I have been getting a lot of requests from either African-American males or couples, because there's very few of us in work doing this work in this area.
Yeah, that does make sense. You know, you guys, you know, you can relate better. I do totally get that. But why do you think that African-American males struggle with saying, I need some help?
I honestly do think it has to do with the idea of, there's a couple things. So the idea of there's not very many people that can relate to me and help me through these issues. Or I'm being judged for this. So why should I even try this if someone is already judging me for it? And honestly, I think it's just health disparities in general. Like there's a lot of places, like there's a lot of places that don't take like Medicare and Medicaid, and that's a huge part of the insurance system. And we can't, like, a lot of times people can't afford people can't afford therapy because it's so expensive. And if you're on Medicare, Medicaid, and you can't find a place to take that insurance, you just don't go.
Yeah, I can totally get that. I can relate a little bit. My insurance company decided for whatever reason, because my therapist went out on her own, that they weren't going to cover her anymore. So now I have to pay cash out of pocket. And
Yeah.
I'm like, she didn't, nothing changed. She just went from one provider, like provider meaning like she worked for like a group, which I'm sure you probably do, to just sell her own business. And they're like, oh
Right.
yeah, by the way, we're not going to cover her anymore. What? Like insurance, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, that's the thing. We're kind of stuck with it though. Like, this is our insurance,
Yeah.
like my wife's insurance. We don't have a choice. Like, we can, you know, the therapist that I built this giant bond over for the last 3 or 4 years, I'm not gonna drop her. I'll go work an extra shift to pay for it because
Right.
I just can't see trying to reestablish, like, oh, okay, so I can pay my copay with someone that I don't know, or I can, you know, it's just, oh, don't get me started on
Right.
insurance. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's I think that's also a big thing is you get this you create this bond with someone and something like that happens and it discourages you from either going back to therapy or continuing with it because then some people just can't afford it and they don't have the
Yeah.
time to do that or they do pick up an extra shift but because they're picking up that extra shift they're not able to make that time later on to get back into therapy.
Yeah. If the first month you're doing great, but then work dries up or whatever, and then you're like, I can't spend $150 a week just on therapy, but.
Right.
Oh man, if you're listening, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. If you can do whatever you can to find it, it's worth it. Just believe me.
100%. Yeah. No, I'm a huge proponent for therapy. I mean, I go to therapy myself, and it's something that I've seen help me in ways that just it might they it's doesn't it's can't even put into words how much it's helped me understand myself a little bit more.
Yeah, we always try to tell people too, like, you don't have to be like some crazy person to go to therapy. I
Right.
mean, you can go to therapy just for healthy, just continuation of life. And there's a lot of times when I go to therapy and I don't really have an agenda. And I'm just like, this is kind of how my week was. And then all of a
Yeah.
sudden, time's up. You know what I mean? And I'm like, wait,
Right.
I just spent an hour talking about stuff that, you know, it's not like, you know, earth shattering or anything, but I feel so much better. And you know what? If it makes me feel better, that's all what I'm about. Like, if I can make my life a little
Exactly.
bit smooth, it's totally worth it.
Yep, I completely agree with that. Okay, so let's see. So what does mental health mean for you or to you?
It's a good question. I mean, it could go a lot of different ways. It means everything to me. It means that you know, growing up, you know, I was abused physically, and till I was able to stop it, till about like 13 or 14, and from 14 to like 38, life sucked. I mean, yes, I had everything I needed. I worked hard. You know, I have a house and I had a car and I had a girlfriend or a wife or whatever, but my relationships were horrible.
Okay.
I manifested my issues with anger. I would, and I that's what I work on now is I pop off sometimes and, have these little moments. And so this mental health has been everything for me to improve. My mental health has been everything to me. And I probably will go to therapy for the rest of my life. I'm okay saying that, but you need to have somewhat of a good mental health, and you're not going to fix those problems. As you know, as a therapist, my brain was wired a different way when I was abused. Like, all that wiring happens when you're young, and it takes so much work to rewire it. And you have to stick with it. You can't just expect, one visit, two visits, three visits. But mental health is just so important to me. So that's to answer your question, it means the world to me. And as far as, well, that's not a thing. I guess you asked, what does mental health mean to me? I keep saying, like I say, like I'm mostly relating to therapy means the world to me, but I just think it's important to address your mental health, and there's help for everyone out there. So if you think you're messed up, like I was my therapist, I've told her everything and some things I'm not proud of, and she's like, "Don't worry, I've heard that and probably worse, so it's okay." Yeah,
And
I go ahead.
no, I was just gonna say, I think you had brought up a good point of like just mental health in general, but earlier you had talked about everyone like having mental health. And I think that's so important because I try to help people differentiate between mental health and mental illness. Because we all have, we like you said, we all have mental health. It's just like our physical health. But the like mental illness is something that you may feel is more, I hate to say it in this way, but like more serious in that it's like a diagnosis of something that is really, really affecting your life. So we can go to therapy for a mental illness, but we can also go to therapy for mental health and taking care of ourselves to make sure that we're taking care of the mental part of our psyche, or excuse me, of ourself, as well as our physical part.
Yeah, I think a lot of that stuff, it can be acute, right? You have a terrible loss in your life, or you're in a car accident and you're just like laid up, and I think that would be not a mental illness, but that would be something like, yeah, you need therapy. Like, we need some intervention here. Maybe we need some meds, but maybe in 6 months or a year you can get back. And then there's my mental health, where I don't know, like my mom was diagnosed with like bipolar and all that other stuff. I don't know if I have that. I've been diagnosed a bunch of times and no one's ever come to me and said that. But I mean, mine's not acute. Mine's long term. Whether I would label that as my mental health, the staple journey, or or it would be a mental illness. I don't know. What is your opinion on that? I'm curious for my situation.
So, based off of what I've talked about with other individuals, I feel that things like I think what I label as like mental illness are things like the severe chronic diagnoses. So things like schizophrenia, I mean, some personality disorders that really affect everything in your life. So I think for you, it is more of mental health than mental illness.
Yeah, that makes sense. You still there?
Yes. Sorry. It's freezing up a little glitching. Bit.
Yeah. Technology.
Okay. So going back to talking about a little bit more about like your childhood. So what if you don't mind me asking, like what were some things that happened?
You know, whether it's good or bad, I don't have a ton of memory from it. And my therapist and I before COVID, okay, I'm going to forget what this technique is. And I know you know it, but it's kind of like brain spotting, but it's, what is the name of it? I don't know. It's a technique where you like use a device that kind of goes back and forth in your ear and or visual. I can't EMDR. Remember what it's called. Yes, thank you. Yes. So that I hope when we finally get in person, that will trigger a lot more of the memories. But some of them I remember is just, you know, one particular where I remember is in the kitchen and I don't know what happened, but I just know I got kicked in the stomach and into the wall and it was just devastating. That was probably when I was like 6 or 7. So, yeah, that was pretty rough. I mean, it varied from, you know, it was hard to predict. Like she would have the issues that I have, like the fly off the handle. And, you know, my sisters, I mean, she broke hairbrushes on my sister. They got more of the emotional abuse because they're girls, but they did get physical. But just those kind of things that went on. But not that I want to know about more of the bad stuff, but I honestly don't remember a lot of the good stuff either.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times we suppress everything in those years that we don't want to think about anything that happened during that time, because it just doesn't bring up anything good for us, good or bad.
Yeah, I know it was there to protect me. That's what my brain did. Just be like, all right, shut this stuff down because this ain't good. And unfortunately, I've been married for 14 years. I think 14. But 14. And I don't remember a lot of the great stuff that's happened when we have been married. So it continues on. And I'm hoping the EMDR will kind of break some of that up.
Yeah,
in the future, but it does frustrate me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and not being able to have those, not being able to have some of those memories, especially of the good things. It is very frustrating because you want to have those enjoyable moments without having the other bad things that were just completely bad showing up again.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely was some good times, but, you know, the bad times, it's just, man, it was rough. And it honestly, Karan, like it's really came to a head this year. I finally, fast forward, like my sister's, it's just always toxic through the whole family. My mom has dementia, Alzheimer's, is inpatient.
Okay.
And my dad was just stood by when we were abused and never did anything. And I've tried to have conversations for him. And I finally, just in the last couple of weeks, told him and my sister, well, my one sister, Nicole, doesn't even talk to me. But the other one and my dad, I finally told him that I don't want to see him anymore. And it was really hard for me because, like, my dad doesn't do anything very toxic to trigger, like, all right, I'm done with you, like, stay away. But him, like, not being, he didn't come, like, since my mom's been sick, it, you know, he hasn't really come see his grandkids. I mean, we live a couple miles away.
Okay.
And so it's just been those kind of neglect things. But it was super hard for me to write that email to my dad and my sister, but I feel so much better. I know it seems weird to people. I mean, you probably get it, but to be like, how can you just, you know, write your dad or your sister off? But while I did write these emails, I did say I am open to a relationship that's going to be healthy. Basically, I set a boundary. That's basically what I did. It's a roundabout way.
Which is super important. So that's my next question is, how do you deal with any sort of toxic relationships or anything that you feel is crossing a boundary for you?
Well, in the past, you know, like in regards to my family, my siblings and stuff, it was always just scream, scream, scream. I hate you. I don't want to talk to you again. And then like 3 months later, it would be like, oh, okay, what's up? Like no resolution or anything. We would just start talking again. But it's so different working, dealing with someone that's not been a toxicity in your life. Like, what was your original question? How do I
How do
handle,
you, yeah,
can you say
like
that?
toxic relationships and deal with people that cross any sort of boundaries that you have set up?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, really the only boundary issue I have is with my family, like my friends. Like, there's light boundaries there, but I mean, we work on it because it's like two people wanting to work on a relationship, you know, with my dad or my sister. They don't really want a relationship. Like, I think they do it out of convenience because I have my kids, right? They're like, oh, you know, we have to talk to Jason and my wife Megan, because the kids, right? And so it's easy to be like, this is the boundary, you cross it, these are the issues. But really, there's really no one else in my life where I'm like, they want to work on a relationship. I mean, obviously everyone wants to work. It's always a work in progress, but I don't really see anywhere other than my family where I have to really set these huge boundaries that are even crossed. So I guess that would be my answer for that.
And what has been your biggest influence, your biggest thing that has gotten you through a lot of these, a lot of the things that have happened for you?
You know, a lot of it is my second wife. It's always weird to say that, right? Your second wife, because it implies that you might have a third or a fourth. I should say my final wife. It's just a weird thing to say, right? Like my second wife. It's like, okay, then there's the third. But anyways, I always chuckle when I say that. I always feel like I'm not giving it credit, but it was her. I mean, when I met her, I had been divorced from my first wife, and it was toxic. Like, I mean, I got her pregnant 2 weeks after I met her when she was, when I was 19. So I had my son when I was 20, because he'll be 24 the day after Christmas.
Okay.
And so that was pretty rough. And so the divorce was rough and the custody battle. I mean, we were both immature. We were both stubborn. And so that was tough. And then I met my wife, Megan, and I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is what that was the first woman in my life that was in quotations normal, that didn't have, you know, my mom had issues. I had a girlfriend before my wife that was cuckoo. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That was kind of mean, but the word cuckoo, I shouldn't say it, just there was trouble. And then I met my first wife, and that was bad. So I had no women in my life that were loving. And not that I was perfect. Don't get me wrong. I contributed to a lot of that, but so my biggest influence would be my wife. Was she came in and she's like, hey, I see you're struggling. Like, she didn't say this out loud. I'm going to step in. I'm going to help you, you know, say, you know, with my ex-wife and my son, she would always say, take the high road. I'm like, I don't want to take the high road. I want to fight, because this is crap. She's like, take the high road. It'll pay off in the end. Take the high road. It'll pay off in the end. And over time, you know, she's just kind of been my rock and moving me forward and helping me in anything I needed, as far as, you know, encouraging me to go to therapy and those kind of things. So I, you know, it's gotta be her. I mean, 14 years of my life, and my life's great now. I feel very blessed.
Good. Okay. Yeah. So the one thing that I like to talk to a lot of my clients about is, and I'm a huge proponent for, is self-care. So what has been some things that you do for self-care that has helped you think about and take care of yourself?
Yeah, I struggle with that, which a lot of people do, I think.
Absolutely.
All my jobs are physical. Even gig work sounds weird that it's not physical, but sitting down for long periods of time, it's hard on your body. And yeah. I get a massage every month, one a month. And so I kind of look at that as self-care, but then I think, well, it's for my, like, it's not like this, you know, real beautiful massage. It's like a beat up my back kind of like work.
Right.
So maybe that's self-care. I mean, that's kind of a non-negotiable in our budget, just because it helps me so much. But yeah, I really struggle with that. I really struggle. It's hard for me not to do things, just to be busy and take time for myself, I guess. Like, I feel like sitting down on the couch watching TV is being non-productive. And I mean, I'll play video games for a little bit, but then I'm just like, okay, I got to do something. So to answer your question, I don't really do anything that I should be doing. Like, you know, my therapist is like, you should try meditation. And I try it for a while and then I give up on it. And I don't know. Would any of those be considered self-care? I mean, what do you think about that? Like, what do you do? I'm just curious.
So, yeah, I get a massage monthly as well. And I do, like, this, like, podcasting is actually a form of self-care for me as well. Because I'm able to get my thoughts out and think about these things that I've always been thinking about. And then I do a lot of reading, and that's really the extent of it. I mean, I talk to friends, I talk to my family, especially with COVID, I've been video chatting a lot more with people to have that social interaction,
right?
Because I live alone, so like Oh. If I don't leave my house, and I'm working from home now too, so if yeah. I don't leave my house, I don't see anyone.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So I've been trying to get myself into a better routine for self-care, to make sure that I'm still taking care of myself in spite of everything else that's going on.
Yeah, that would be odd. Like my work, I'm out and about. Like I go into restaurants, pick up food. Now in Michigan or in Grand Rapids, well, I think it's all of Michigan, there's no dine-in right now, not till January 15th. Mm-hmm. So it's just pickup only. So I'm still able to get out and see people, but I'm not really interacting. You know, a lot of it's like the food's right. already there and you just grab it and go, and then it's contactless. And so, but at least like my poor kids, my daughter, we got takeout tonight. I was like, you want to go with me to leave the house? Cause she's remote too. And she's like, yes, let's go. And we even, we picked it up in the car. So it's, she didn't even get out, but it was just, you know, it was nice for her to be able to leave the house. So man, I feel bad for all y'all that are working from home and just, yeah, that would be rough.
Yeah, I mean, there's times where I will literally just get in my car and drive down the street to the gas station because I'm just yeah. like, I just need to get out of the house.
Right. You'll get pissed at somebody on the road rage just to have that. Yes, I'm back.
Exactly. Yep.
May only be temporary, but I'm back, baby.
Yeah, especially in Pittsburgh, it is a drivers around here test you very, very, very much.
I bet.
I think going off of like the whole COVID thing, like how has COVID changed? Or has it changed any of your daily routines or anything that you've done for yourself or for your family or for work?
I'm kind of a homebody anyways. I mean, I work by myself, you know, lawn care. If you ever look at the psyches of like lawn care workers, they're all got mental health issues. You know what I mean? Because they work by themselves. Not that I couldn't work with somebody, but it's like, okay, I know I'm doing my own stuff. I know my quality. Like, it's just, I feel like that job kind of, and delivery people too, right? It just kind of attracts those people that maybe have some issues working with others. But for the most part, I'm kind of a homebody. It really hasn't changed much. We stopped podcasting in person for a while, then it came back, and then we're doing remote again, which I hate because I just like being, I have a studio in the basement, like we talked about at the beginning, clearly having issues, mm-hmm. So that's all that's really changed. My wife is a nurse, so she goes to work. And then, yeah, for the most part, it really hasn't affected much. You know, I don't have a huge family. The family I have, we talked about earlier, I don't really talk to at this point. I think the only issue is just having trouble relaying the information about COVID to my mother-in-law. While she knows it's real, she's 70, so we've really tried to keep away. And Thanksgiving was rough, and she lives alone. Gotcha. And Christmas, we are doing something, but I've done everything I could to make Christmas happen. We're having it outside.
Okay.
In the driveway. We're gonna have a bonfire in the middle, and we're like, that's how we're doing Christmas. I mean, that's as good as I can get it. And it's been frustrating because she's like, oh, I want to do it. And I'm like, I told my wife, I'm like, we're not the ones at risk. She is. And if she wants to do it, let's just do it. And she's like, yeah, but how bad would you feel if you happen to pick it up? Cause I'm in and out of restaurants, you know, I'm out and about. And so is my wife. And we gave it to her and she passed away. Right. And I was like,
right.
So it's hard to like tell her that we're trying to say, you know, save her life. And so that, I guess that's been the only hiccup.
Yeah.
But other than that, our life's been pretty, hasn't really been shook up too much for with
Okay.
COVID.
Yeah, I feel that's been one of the biggest things that I've talked to a lot of my clients about, is how has this been affected, or excuse me, how has this been affecting your daily life and even like your mental health? Because we're, especially in the beginning, where the first, what, three months, we were not allowed to go anywhere and
Right.
nothing was open, and we were isolated to our homes. And that I've seen that take a huge toll on a lot of people. And that was when I really started getting a lot more serious about my self-care, because I did feel myself getting into like a deep dark place where I isolated myself even more, to where I was not talking to anyone, wasn't leaving my house, any of that. So that is one thing that I like to bring up, is talking to people about their how COVID has affected their mental health, and what we can do to try to help get us back to a point where we feel a little more stable, and not feel as if we are completely isolated from each other.
Yeah, I'm interested to see as this fades away. I'm hoping a year from now we can look back and be like, oh, I'm glad that's over with the vaccine coming out and everything. But I often wonder what's getting
Right.
missed through all this going on. Like, I think about me as a child being abused and not being able to go to school and being home with an abusive parent. Like, that would be my worst nightmare, you know?
Right.
All the people that maybe committed suicide that we're not hearing about because it's all about COVID or the election or whatever. And what are those numbers going to look like? I mean, yeah, I feel so blessed that it hasn't really affected me much, but I do feel for the people out there that already have been struggling with whatever. And, you know, that one social interaction they had once a week with their friend was everything. And all of a sudden they can't do that anymore. And they're just keep getting worse and worse. So yeah, it's gonna have a huge effect for the mental health, well, the business end of it. I know it sounds weird to say mental health's a business, but it's gonna go crazy, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say I've seen like an influx of people requesting to see a therapist, even with just within the last like 2 or 3 months, because there is that fear of, I'm at home with someone that is abusive, or I'm at home and I'm home alone, and I can't, like, I don't like to be home, or I don't like to be by myself in my own thoughts. So yeah, how can we work together to make sure that these are happening, and we're making these connections with other people.
Yeah, it's huge. It's good. It's encouraging to hear that people have been reaching out, that you've been a little bit busier, because then it means like, okay, people are taking advantage. As much as telehealth sucks, I'm not gonna lie, I hate it. I love to be
Yeah.
in person, and you know, it's funny. My therapist, right before COVID, so COVID happened. We do the telehealth, then she goes on maternity leave, so things kind of open up, but she's on maternity leave. She comes back and then it's locked down again. So it'll probably be an entire year before I actually see her in person again.
Right. Yeah. It's been it's a weird dynamic when you, especially I've been doing a lot of telehealth intakes, and so not
Okay.
meeting the person for the first time in person is it's been a weird situation, because I'm so used to having that we're in person, we're together, we're talking, and I can read your body language,
Huge. Body language is
as we're
huge.
talking about these things that are happening.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's been such a weird thing. But yeah, like you said, I'm hoping a year from now we're like, this is we've learned from it, and
Yep.
it was a crazy year, but we're gonna keep pushing. And another thing that I talk about is resilience, is how are we dealing with this, and how are we making sure that we're continuing to push forward instead of dwelling on all the bad stuff that is happening, and just continually pushing, pushing, pushing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, but I won't dive into this too much, but a lot of people aren't doing that,
A lot of people.
and yeah, I think America could have done a better job through this pandemic, so that's for another day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So that's actually all the questions that I have for you.
Okay.
Any questions for me?
No, I think maybe down the road I'd love to have you on Threads. I think it's always good. Have we had a ther We did have a therapist on, I think, one of Ben's friends. But yeah, I think maybe down the road we'd like to have you on and see
I would
what's
love
up.
that.
And
Yeah.
yeah,
Absolutely.
we're always looking for guests, even though that we've done 107 episodes. We always are looking for new
Yeah.
guests to have on and more content. And we podcast once a week, so we're on a hiatus now for the holidays. But
Okay. Yeah, I would absolutely love that. Okay. So where can we find you? Where can we find the podcast? Anything that you would like us to connect with you?
yeah, if you like this conversation with Karan, we have a lot of these at Threads Podcast, Life Unfiltered. If you just search that, you'll find our website and you can find everything there at threadspodcast.com. So that's threadspodcast.com. If you're into gig work, who knows? I mean, it's a very unique niche of a podcast, whereas like my wife doesn't listen to it. But if you're a gig worker, if you can go to this one, just search gig economy podcast, because our website's got a hyphen in it and it annoys me. But it wasn't available. Some gal had the gig economy podcast.com, so ours is gig economy hyphen podcast.com, but she wouldn't sell it to us. We offered her like $100. She's not even using it. I'm like, here's $100. But anyways,
Right.
and we also have a production company called Hey Guys Media Group. If you go to heyguysmediagroup.com, we actually help people start podcasts. Don't worry about the tech stuff I talked about at the beginning. That doesn't happen all the time. But yeah, we help people start their podcasts. We edit for them. Yeah, that's kind of a little project that me and my partners are working on and trying to grow that into a more of a business. And I kind of wish we would have started it a year ago before the pandemic, because I think we'd be like booming right now. But we kind of started it about 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yep. So, threadspodcast.com, gig economy hyphen podcast. Wait. Yeah. .com and heyguysmediagroup.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us and sharing your story and being so open and honest. And thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I am not on enough podcasts and I love to talk. Like, oh man, I tell people like I have to be so careful when we have guests on because I'd be like have to sit there and like I talked about, I like to stay busy. And so I'm like, a question. I got a question. I need to say it. So I appreciate the opportunity to let me ramble on, and I hope I wasn't too boring.
No, not at all. No, this was such a great conversation, and yeah, thank you for being here and being honest.
All right, Karan, thank you so much.
All right. Have a great holiday.
Have a good one.
All right, so that's it for this episode. I want to thank Jason for being here and again being so open and honest about his life and mental health and things like that. Such an important thing to think about. And I also encourage you to follow him and listen to the podcast. So, Threads, excuse me, Threads Podcast, Life Unfiltered, and Gigs Economy Podcast, as well as checking out the media company, Hey Guys Media, to if you if you're deciding you want to do your own podcast or anything like that. You can also check me out at on Twitter and Instagram at The Chronicle, on Snapchat at CaronSB. That is also my name on TikTok. You can also email me at chroniclepodcast@gmail.com. And also, you can hit me up at the blog, or read the blog, I should say, at chroniclepodcast.blogspot.com. All right, until next time.